We have three FAQ articles that were posted in the month of September 2014 on the Is, Was, and Will Be site, and we'll begin with those. The first FAQ is entitled, What Does It Mean to Confess Christ? Hello, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I was reading the study from Ecclesiastes about fearing God and keeping commandments when God opened my eyes to a truth I had been blinded to. Let me explain. According to my late mother, I began picking at my skin when I was 2. During those years, my brother David and I were physically and emotionally abused and neglected. At the age of 11, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. While I was growing up, I didn't feel loved or wanted. I was told that I was special, and I wondered how that could be true. What was it about me that made me special? And no one could tell me. In August of 2000, I went to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. There, I heard about forgiveness. I told God that I forgave everyone who had hurt me. God reached down and took away the painful past that had been haunting me and gave me his peace. Shortly thereafter, I came upon your site and that of L. Ray Smith. I started reading both sites as I was learning the truth of God's words. Then I stopped for a while, but didn't forget what I had read. God brought me back to Is, Was, and Will Be and started to show me the truths I was reading. I started to think about what I was learning, and eventually God brought me to the place where I would finally learn something profound. I know why I'm special. God made me that way. Today God has shown me in John 8 that there is no truth to the Trinity doctrine and that he will save all. He also brought to mind John 12:32 and 42 and 43. My question has to do with verse 42 where it says, But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. What does it mean to confess Christ? Your sister in Christ, signed R. Hi, R. Thank you for sharing your story with me. I'm especially encouraged by what you say here. In August 2000, I went to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. There I heard about forgiveness. I told God that I forgave everyone who had hurt me. God reached down and took away that painful past that had been haunting me and gave me his peace. When we forgive others, our Heavenly Father forgives us. If we do not forgive others, our Heavenly Father will not forgive us. Matthew 18, verses 23 through 35. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. But he would not, and went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he called him, said unto him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt, because you desired me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses. Till he should pay all that was due him is not endless torment, but it is God's judgment which teaches men to be righteous. Isaiah 26, verse 9. With my soul have I desired you in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. That is exactly what the lake of fire does. It teaches the inhabitants of the world righteousness, because those who comprise and dwell comfortably in that fire are God's overcomers in this age, who will come up in that blessed and holy first resurrection to be used of God to show his mercy to all the rest of mankind who have ever drawn a breath. Isaiah 33, verses 14 and 15. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he that despises the gain of oppressions, that shakes his hand from holding of bribes, that stops his ears from hearing of blood, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. Upright speaking is speaking the fiery words of Christ, which will come out of the mouths of those who are comfortable in that devouring fire. They are comfortable there because that fire is already burned out of them, everything that will burn, and they are now purified of all the false doctrines of Babylon, which had kept them from being able to confess Christ. Your question is, my question has to do with verse 42, where it says, "But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." What does it mean to confess Christ? That is the answer to your question. Confessing Christ is much more than saying a 10-second sinner's prayer and then becoming part of the tens of thousands of differing denominations of men. The reason given for why the leaders did not confess Christ is that they feared being put out of the synagogue, because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. John 12, verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. The parents of the man who was healed of being born blind, a spiritual type of all men, were also more concerned with being put out of the synagogue than they were concerned with obeying Christ and his commandments. John 9:22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Believing that Jesus is the Christ entails believing his doctrines and doing them. Christ himself made that perfectly clear with these words, Luke 6:46, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." So there it is. Christ had confessed that he and his disciples had done that which was not lawful according to the law. They had profaned the Sabbath, and Christ justified doing so by claiming that he was greater than the temple and was Lord of the Sabbath. Matthew 12, verses 1 through 8. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, your disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." But he said unto them, "Have you not read what David did, when he was hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what that means, 'I will have mercy and not sacrifice,' you will not condemn the guiltless. But the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." On top of all of this, he also claims to be the Son of God, and those are the two reasons that were given for why the Pharisees wanted to kill our Lord. John 5 verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. The Church of Christ's day typifies the churches of this age who claim the name of Christ but want to eat their own spiritual food and wear their own spiritual clothes, rejecting Christ's food and his clothing, his doctrine and his works. Isaiah 4 verse 1, and in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. The spiritual significance of the number seven is completeness, and the spiritual significance of women in Scripture is the church. What we are being told is that the whole church is to this day wanting the true Christ dead, and all who confess him and do what he says will be cast out of the churches of today. Denying the Trinity is just the beginning of coming out of Babylon. It is my prayer the Lord will continue to open your eyes to see and your ears to hear the mysteries of the kingdom of God, which is within you. I hope this helps you to understand what these verses of which you inquire mean. John 12:42-43, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. To this very day, we all tend to love the praise of men more than the praise of God, especially when we see these men as great men of God, even as they tell us to go and fight for God and country, contrary to the commandment of our Lord. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your neighbors, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. The doctrines of Christ are beyond the ability of our flesh, but they are not beyond the abilities of Christ in us. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I will close by encouraging you to scroll down on the homepage and listen in on the weekly studies that fit your schedule. Malachi 3 verses 16 through 18. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. Your brother in Christ, Mike. Our next FAQ, posted in the month of September 2014, is entitled, Is Joseph's Cup Also the Cup of Christ? Greetings to all of you. I went to feed the dogs one day and noticed the cup that was in the bag of the dog food. God brought to mind the cup of Joseph's that had been put in Benjamin's sack of grain. I read Genesis chapter 30 and where Jacob got to go to Egypt. I also noticed that the money for food had to be returned to the brothers both times they went to buy food and take it home. Does Joseph's cup have anything to do with the cup of Christ? Thank you, signed R. Hi, R. Thank you for your question. You reference the story of Joseph giving his brothers money back twice and then deliberately placing his silver cup in Benjamin's sack and accusing his brothers of stealing his cup. Genesis 44, verses 1 through 12. And he, Joseph, commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money. and he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And they were, when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, Up, follow after the men, and when you do overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have you rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinks, and whereby indeed he divines? You have done evil in so doing. And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, Wherefore says my Lord these words? God forbid that your servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sack's mouth, we brought again unto you out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of your Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of your servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondsmen. And he said, Now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and you shall be blameless. Then they speedily took down every man's his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched, and he began at the eldest, and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. And then you ask, Does Joseph's cup have anything to do with the cup of Christ? Yes, indeed it does. It was through Christ's cup that he bore the sin of the world. But Christ's cup was not just to be drunk by him alone. It was also to be drunk by all who would come to know Christ in every succeeding generation, as Christ told James and John, and as Paul tells us. Matthew 20, verses 22 and 23. But Jesus answered and said, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We are able. And he said unto them, You shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. The spiritual significance of Joseph and his brothers is dealt with in depth in an article entitled The Law of Moses versus the Law of the Spirit, which I urge you to read at your earliest convenience. The link is in the article. It's also located at the Essential Readings on the iswasandwillbe.com website, and it's also been audioed in the Essential Reading section. Since we must all come to see ourselves as chief of sinners, we must acknowledge that drinking Christ's cup is the reaping of what we've sown and the burning up of all the wood, hay, and stubble in our lives. Psalms 11, verse 6, Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Benjamin had no part in what his 10 brothers did to his brother Joseph, and in that way he typifies God's elect along with his brother Joseph. But since we all must live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, of Matthew 4:4, we must never make the mistake of thinking of ourselves only as Joseph or Benjamin, but surely never those 10 ungodly brothers of Joseph who sold him into Egypt for 20 pieces of silver. If we, as the Apostle Paul did, can truly come to see ourselves as the chief of sinners, then we will acknowledge that all that is in the flesh, all the dastardly deeds of Joseph's brothers, or of all men, are also lying right there, latent within our own corruptible flesh. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 John 2:16, For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. 1 Corinthians 15:50, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. But if God has it so written in his book, then some of us will be saviors along with Christ, and we will be crucified together with Christ, and we will be dying daily with him, and we will be filling up in our flesh that which is behind of the sufferings of Christ for his body's sake, which is the church, just as he did. The only difference is that we are the living sacrifice, the scapegoat, who along with the Lord's goat must make atonement for Israel. Leviticus 16, verses 9 and 10. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering, i.e. Christ himself. But the goat, on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat, shall be presented alive before the Lord, to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness, i.e. present yourselves a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. And Colossians 1:24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Our living sacrifice is also for the church, to make an atonement with Christ, being crucified with Christ, for his body's sake, which is the church. It was Christ himself who told us all of this when he told us in John 20, verse 21, Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Christ's Father sent him to die for the sins of this world, and that is what Christ has sent us to do, to die daily, to be crucified with him, and to fill up in our own bodies what is behind of Christ's afflictions for his body's sake, which is the church. I hope this all serves to demonstrate what Joseph's cup typifies and that that is what Christ's cup typifies. They both typify the judgment of our flesh and the destruction of our old man, through which destruction of our new man is birthed into the kingdom of God. Your brother in Christ, Mike.